We come together as one of the Lord's churches, and God speaks to us, and God teaches us. God reveals His Word to us, reveals His will to us. We come together and we see God many times, not only blessing us in the teaching and the preaching of His Word, but teaching us and blessing us through the singing of songs, and how He many times will weave a thread through the songs that we sing and the things that are taught and the things that are preached, and God will bless us in that avenue. Sometimes the Lord blesses us in a way that I don't know if I want to say is subliminal or is spiritual in nature. But the Lord reveals to us things throughout the course of a Sunday service that not everybody picks up on, that the Lord gives and reveals to us, and not everybody gets it. Not everybody sees it. Again, rather that's a subliminal way that He's working beyond our conscience and bringing us to those things, or it's just on a spiritual plane that we only get if we're in that plane, on that plane. Today's message is a message that the Lord laid upon our heart last week. Last Sunday night, I spoke of several things that the Lord had laid upon our heart that we wanted to get to, and we tried to sift through what the Lord would have us to preach and what He'd have us to teach last Sunday night. And He brings us to this thought and this passage of Scripture from our text last Sunday. Hopefully He'll show us that message that He showed me was present last Sunday. I think the Lord was trying to tell us something, but are we getting it? I think the Lord was speaking, but did God's people hear? Did God open any of our understandings to see that extra message, that extra thought that was a part of last Sunday morning and Sunday evening services? We'll see. I pray that God would open our eyes and our understanding to receive it. If we didn't see it last week and didn't get it, it wasn't made apparent to us, that it will be this morning. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." The Lord asks the question there in verse number 7, "If thou doest well, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Sounds kind of Armenian, doesn't it? If you do well, you'll be accepted. Sounds a little Armenian if you look at it just superficially, as you see it in the words of this verse this morning. It's much like the man who said, "What must I do to be saved?" And God's response to him through the Apostle Paul, his response was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That sounds Armenian, doesn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But neither one of these statements are Armenian. These are the words of the Lord to his people. These are the words that we are given to teach. These are the words that we're given to preach. These are promises. And we can quote them and we can read them and we can preach them and we can teach them without apology and without having to spend 10 or 15 minutes explaining the grace of God. Amen. If you do well, you'll be blessed. Amen. If you do right, in the end, you will be blessed. That's a promise. God's people need to claim it more often than they do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can only do that by the grace of God. But that's not what we're told to preach every time we mention that. We're to preach with great assurance to lost sinners. And I preach with all the assurance I can this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a guarantee. If you do right, you'll be accepted. You'll be received. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. If right now where you sit, you see yourself a sinner in need of a Savior, and you believe Jesus Christ died for you, you're saved. You'll be saved. And if you do well, if thou doest well, thou wilt be accepted. We come to this question tonight, or this morning. You begin to see this woving together of thoughts last Sunday and the woving together of lessons and messages. What the Lord caused me to see that I hope other people saw. I want to ask the question, do you want revival? Do you want revival? Do you know, do you understand that things are not in your life and things are not well with you as they were when the Lord first saved you? Do you notice? Do you sense? Do you understand that you're not as close to the Lord as you should be? You're not as close to the Lord as you should be. You're not as close to the Lord as you could be. Do you want revival? And my main focus, my main thought this morning is not on a church or the church, though all these things are true. The focus this morning is individual. Because revival begins with the individual. Revival breaks out amongst people. And then you end up with a revival in the church or a revival in the nation. Do you want revival? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Do you want revival? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Talk, talk, talk. Give lip service to the subject. Talk about how you know things aren't right with you and the Lord and how you wish things were better and you want things to be better. Are you just going to talk about it? The passage of Scripture before us in verse number 7 doesn't say if you talk well or you talk about it or you give lip service to it. But it says there, if thou doest well. If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. Look at 2 Chronicles. Not saying assuredly, but there's a really good chance that this is the most well-known, one of the most well-known passages from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7. Listen to the word of God in verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, if my people, he's talking to his people, isn't he? And he's putting forth a really big if. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. There's a whole lot of doing there. Not a whole lot of talking. Not a whole lot of sounding good. If my people will humble themselves, my people will pray, if my people will seek my face, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins. And then I will heal their land. If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. Not talk about it, but do. If my people, which are called by my name, not talk about it, but will do what I prescribe, then I will hear, I will forgive, I will heal. We have too many shampoo Christians. The instruction on a shampoo bottle read, lather, rinse, repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. A lot of Christians are that way. They follow that same cycle. They follow that same pattern over and over again. As they go through their life, they get away from the Lord. They get too far into the world. They don't feel comfortable there because they're saved, because they have the Spirit of God within them. And then they talk about how they want to be right with the Lord and how they wish things could be right with the Lord. And talking about it eases their conscience a little bit, so they go on and they repeat that cycle. That cycle is only broken when we stop talking and we start some doing. Some doing. We have too many Christians that suffer from weak characters, and they need to be patted and they need to be petted, and they feel sorry for themselves and they need other people to feel sorry for them. We don't have as many Christians with strong characters who get down, who can get discouraged, who can be depressed, but they know you got to keep on keeping on. You got to go on. Do you want a revival? Do you want to feel like you felt when the Lord first saved you? Stop blaming other people. Stop blaming your circumstances and your situation. And do that which will result in revival. See, I believe that's what he's saying to us. I don't think I'm taking this terribly out of context, but he says, if thou doest well, if you do right, this is God speaking to him, if you do correctly, will you not be blessed? If you seek revival, if you go about it the right way, if instead of talking about it, you do something about it, you're going to be blessed. I believe that's a promise we can claim. It has many applications. And again, I'm not trying to take this out of context, but he plainly speaks to Cain here in regards, you've been taught. I've taught you. You know what I expect. Your parents have taught you. You know what I expect. You know what's right, and you know the right thing to do. If you'll do it, if you'll do it, won't you be accepted? If we do right in regards to revival, desiring revival, if we will do that which is given to us and set forth in Scripture, I believe we'll find it. I believe we'll receive it. I believe we'll experience it. God is not one bit changed or altered in 2023 than he's been any other period of time. God is still able to revive. God is still able to stir. God is still able to draw us near unto him and cause us to feel that intimate fellowship and communion with him. If my people, is in the book of Chronicles to the nation of Israel, it's still a true promise today. If we'll pray and humble ourselves and seek the Lord, he's going to hear. He's going to heal. In our Sunday school lessons of late, the subject of revival has come up. And the example of Israel is laid before us, and what they did to experience the reviving that is talked about in our study. It wasn't about talking a talk. But Israel had to do some things. As was referenced already this morning, after services last week, I told Brother Luke, I said, people don't understand how expensive revival is. People don't understand the high price of revival. Revival does not come easily. Revival does not come cheaply. Revival does not come just because we talk a good talk. Revival comes when we pay the price. Revival comes when we do that which God commands, which God asks, which God requests of us, which God connects to this promise. If you do well, wilt thou not be received? We heard about separating ourselves from worldliness. You got to do that. You want to have revival. Maybe the main reason we need revival is because of worldliness in our life. Talking about it's not going to bring revival. It's not going to cause your fire to be rekindled. You're going to have to remove the worldliness that's in your life. That's a do. Our lives are filled with the world. Our lives are filled with the ways of the world. Everywhere you look in our lives, every corner of our life, you see the world. And revival is never going to come until we do some house cleaning and we get rid of the worldliness, the idolatry, the false ways. 2 Corinthians tells us, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not. Touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them and I will receive you and I will be a God unto you. Promises, aren't there? Many. We got to come away from the world. We heard about sometimes there's some things we need to add. We saw that in the illustration of Israel. There are some things that they needed to add to their lives. And there are some things in your life and my life that we need to add. We need to increase. Peter talks about adding to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and etc. In our Sunday school lesson, when the king was ordained, they brought the testimony of the Lord. They brought the word of God. Isn't it in Josiah's record? Where lo and behold, the word of God is found. Whoa! Something miraculous has been found in Israel. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. It had got lost in the shuffle. You want revival? There's some things you need to remove from your life. Without exception, I could say, everybody here who names the name of Christ, who claims to be a member of Faith Baptist Church, you're going to find things in your life you need to get rid of. You need to get rid of some things. And revival's not going to come until you separate yourself from the worldliness that is in your life. Revival's not going to come until you add some things that God would have to be a part of your life. And you're not going to have revival until you remove some things. Clean house. Get in the attic and get it all out of there. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This wasn't a preacher. This was a Sunday school teacher who had the gall to tell you that there are some people in your life that need to go. Amen. That's right. There are some ungodly, worldly influences. And if you want to have revival, you need to get out of your life. Amen. Many are the sayings and many are the quotes that could be referred to that say something to the effect that we need to surround ourselves by good people. Surround ourselves with godly people. That was touched on in this morning's lesson. But just as surely as all those things can be quoted and can be said, there are some people that need to go. You're never going to prosper. You're never going to experience revival as long as you are under their influence, under that effect. You want revival? Lord brought that before my eyes last week and my studies this week, and he brought me to that promise that God gave to Cain. Cain, if you'll do right, will you not be received? And we can apply it to the thought this morning, if we'll do right, God will bless us with revival. This isn't a pipe dream. This isn't an impossibility. Right here this morning, right here now, you can feel the fire of the Holy Spirit burning within you. You can feel the presence of the Lord. You can feel like you felt when the Lord saved you decades ago. You can feel that this morning if you're going to do that which God calls us to do, to experience revival. What about this past week? That shouldn't be too big of a challenge just to consider the last 7 days. What worldliness has found itself into our lives, in our homes, in our families? What worldliness has gotten into our lives over the last 7 days? That stepping, that easing, that edging closer to the world. How many of those steps did we take this week? We need to get rid of it. We need to step back. That's really what revival is. It's a going back to a present state, a present condition. Over the last 7 days, what has been added to your life that you know is not good for you spiritually? You know is detrimental to your walk with the Lord. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Over the last 7 days, what have you embraced and cuddled up next to that you should have removed? Remove it. Remove it. In the last 7 days, how many corrupt and bad influences have we embraced and has had an impact upon us? Clean house. Get rid of that. See, in years gone by, they had, and some still do, I saw it just the other day in a Baptist church, not of our faith, but our stripe, but they used to have what they called the altar call. The altar was the front of the church. And people were called to the altar. If they were lost, they were called to come and take hold of the altar and pray through. I'm not endorsing this. I'm just giving you the example. If you're backslidden, cold, and indifferent, you want revival. You're called to the altar. And you were called to lay it on the altar. What you need to get rid of. Because of that false way and because of that false thought. We've convinced ourselves that we don't need to do anything to experience revival. And I'm here to tell you, that's wrong. You want revival, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to step out and say, I'm removing, I'm kicking this out, I'm cleaning this out, I'm laying this on the altar before the Lord. I'm removing it from my life because I want to be revived. It's the devil's lie to believe we don't need to do anything to have revival. And again, I qualify it as I did at the beginning of the message. We can only do this by the grace of God, just as one can only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by the grace of God. That is, of course, true. But the promise is nonetheless sure. That revival comes when we pay the price of doing something with our sin, doing something with our worldliness, doing something with the things that are lacking in our lives, doing something with those influences that just aren't good for us spiritually. We've been convinced, and we've convinced ourselves we don't need to do anything. Therefore, we end up not doing anything. You want revival? I'm not talking about a church. I'm not talking about us collectively. I'm talking to you and I as individuals. Those of us who say we're saved, who name Jesus Christ as our Savior, well, that's easy. It's easy. I'm not asking you as a group, I'm not asking you in a general way, do you know Jesus Christ, or are you a Christian, or do you believe in Jesus Christ? I'm asking you, do you want revival? As an individual, do you want it? How bad do you want it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to stop talking? God is not impressed with our words. God has never been impressed with our much speaking. You want revival? How bad do you want it? What are you going to do about it? Will you hear? Will you hear the words of God to Cain? Cain, if you do right, won't you be received? Won't you be accepted? If you'll do right, won't you experience revival? What are we willing to do? What do we feel burdened about doing? Just being that shampoo Christian gets caught up in the worldliness, doesn't like that feeling it brings, and then we just give lip service to wanting to feel the presence of the Lord, or will we do something? If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. Let's stand.